I took a leave of absence and never returned.
Now, what's our mission? I mean, it's to inspire others to achieve their goals and to take risks. So I think Colette is like a pack of wolves pursuing prey when it comes to getting deals.
And most sales aren't made until the 12th point of contact, so you have to remember that. I wasn't creating for myself. I was working for someone else's dreams.
It's also the idea of when you look back on your life and you're 70 years old, are you going to be proud of the story you wrote and told, or are you going to regret decisions that you made? And so once we kind of visualize ourselves as either being the couple that almost traveled around the world or being the couple that did, that was the thing that solidified us.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, you guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. So you guys ever, you know, go on Instagram and you see these couples and they're like in these beautiful places and they're traveling all the time and you're like, who the hell does this? How do they get this job? What? How can I do that? Well, I happened to find a couple. They actually work out at my box. Long story short, we'll get to that later on. But they were working on my box, and I said, you guys, would you be willing to come on my show on the mic? And they were like, heck yeah. So today I have with me Scott and Colette Stoller. Let me do that one more time. Scott and Colette Stoller. And they basically took an around-the-world trip, and they turned it into a business. Like, blows my mind here. It's been going on for about 3.5 years, and they're living a life that we see on Instagram and it seems a little bit divorced from what we do. So I said, hey, guys, come share the wealth. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Scott and Colette.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for taking the, you know, 5 minutes away from your 6 minutes of being home and doing this. I appreciate it. Where are you guys off to next?
We are going to Park City, Utah this weekend, and then we head out to the Philippines and Seoul, South Korea after that.
Though that's it, just a little trip to Seoul. So, Colette, why don't you start us off and just, can you give us a little background? What the heck is it that you guys actually do?
So we are storytellers and content creators. So what we do is we create video content and photo content and tell stories about travel destinations and basically travel subjects from around the world.
That's amazing. And what did you do in a past life? Because you haven't always done this.
So in my past life, I worked at talent agencies and in TV production. So I had a fairly good understanding of how to tell a story and how to write persuasively and be on camera. But Scott had a very different past life, and I'll let him expand on that.
So I was a chemical engineer working as an operations manager, completely different from what I'm doing now. And now I just tell people the short answer is I'm a photographer. And then if they want to know more, then I elaborate. But that's just the easy way to get people to kind of bypass them, I guess, instead of telling the whole what we do as you're asking questions right now.
Scott, I actually didn't know that until I think yesterday, maybe a few days ago, Colette, you guys posted and it said that you were a chemical engineer. Where did that come from? That was why?
A university. how did I want to become a chemical engineer?
Yeah.
You know, it's a good, I actually have somewhat of an inspirational answer. It was really due to my high school chemistry teacher. I had a very good chemistry teacher who actually, he had been there for, you know, decades at my high school, taught my mom as well and all of my brothers. And, you know, I knew I was going to do some type of engineering. And I think it was just because of his influence and being able to educate me on a subject that most people are turned off on, I decided to focus on chemical engineering instead of any of the others. And so I went to Purdue University, one of the more prestigious engineering schools and had a blast up there. And I'm glad that I did it and I learned a lot and I use it in today's world. I mean, because I always say that engineers are problem solvers. And yeah, in the business that we're in, we're constantly solving new problems.
Did you get to use your degree before doing Romaru?
Yeah, so I worked for two or three bigger companies, more like Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies. Mm-hmm. So I worked for Anheuser-Busch, where I actually had to drink the beer as part of my job. That was a
tough life.
Tough life.
Right.
Unilever, which is a big consumer goods company who makes Dove, and then Hinkle, which not a lot of people know, but they have their big consumer goods company as well.
Wow. All right. And were you happy there?
I would say there were certain jobs I was happy at. There were certain jobs that I wasn't. The last job that I was at, the first two really taught me. You know, Anheuser-Busch and Unilever, those were early on in my career. And I was given a lot of responsibility very early. And so, you know, I learned a lot about business, how to deal with people, leadership. And so that was great. The last job kind of was a step down in responsibility. And so I realized that I was underwhelmed in what I was doing. And that kind of inspired us to kind of take, that was part of the leap of faith that we took, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, was just because both of us were a little underwhelmed in our responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Colette, can you pick up with that? How about with your job before this?
Yeah, so I was working as a writer and producer for TV commercials prior to Romaru. And so, I mean, I had the skill set that was required to do what we do now, but I wasn't creating for myself. I was working for someone else's dreams. And while I might have excelled at it, it wasn't fulfilling to my heart and mind. And I knew I needed to do something different. I'm grateful for the skill sets that they provided me. I mean, when I worked at a talent agency, I understood contracts and negotiation. When I moved on to TV and film production, I understood writing and the production landscape and how to create. So those skill sets have definitely translated into the position we are now. But ultimately, we wanted to create something that satisfied our own dreams and take a risk. And we're both very entrepreneurial. And we weren't able to do that when we were working for other people.
So how did this leap happen?
Well, it actually started from a podcast. Really, it was the Tim Ferriss podcast had Rolf Potts, who's the author of Vagabonding. It is a great book. I recommend it to anyone. And he read Rolf Potts read an excerpt from his book, and it was talking about, you know, how the stoplights in life are never all green. And Colette came home one day, and we'd always talked about, you know, traveling the world. You know, during our honeymoon, we talked about, hey, let's not go back. But it was always just kind of a joke, and it was never serious. And this was the first time that she was actually serious about traveling the world. So then I said, you know, I said, excuse me, sorry.
Okay.
I said, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. Let me think about this. We enjoyed our dinner. I listened to the same podcast, you know, a day and a half, 2 days later on the way to work. And from then on, I was 100% in as well. And so I sent her 5 or 6 emails, fully caffeinated with not a lot to do at work. And so my mind was dedicated to getting this accomplished and actually making this our dream come true.
Had you guys traveled before?
Yes, we traveled before. I mean, I was a degenerate traveler from when I was a baby. I have a traveler gypsy mother, so she took me everywhere, and I had been to around 50 countries prior to leaving for our around the world trip. Scott and I traveled together as soon as we started dating, basically. I mean, we met on vacation, so that's kind of...
That's going to be one of my next questions.
We had traveled and we did the typical American 2-week vacation where we'd save up and dream of that all year long, but we didn't have any more time to dedicate to travel. So, you know, we decided that we wanted more time to experience the world together.
And the around the world trip you planned, what was that like and how long did you plan to do that?
So initially we planned, actually a funny little thing is we thought it was 6 months, and then we realized that we couldn't count months on the calendar and it was 7 months. We planned to leave middle of June, and we were going to come back at the beginning of January. And the initial plan was to come back and just, you know, get similar jobs. And so I had been searching for other jobs at the time before we left, and had a few offers. So I realized that it wouldn't be too difficult for me to get a job. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Colette.
I actually took a leave of absence and never returned.
Dang. They're still waiting to this day.
We had, you know, confidence in the fact that if we're taking this leap from our careers or gap from our careers, it was relatively low risk in our minds that we could step back into it pretty easily.
That's amazing that you say that and you feel that, because, you know, I do some coaching and I do stuff like this, podcasts, things like that. And that's one of the things I always tell people, especially in, you know, my world, physical therapy, like you can always go back and get your shitty job, especially the people that I can't hate where they're working. Like, you can always go back and do that. You take a leap, and if it doesn't work out, if you don't like it, or if you just miss it, you can always go back. But I don't think that many people really grasp that. Was there something else, I don't know, someone else, or perhaps it was just from that podcast, that really made you believe that you could go back? Like, what was it that gave you the confidence? Like, yeah, we can go back to this. Because people don't tend to think like that.
I think it was, one, you know, the fact that I had the offers, and Colette was taking leave of absence, and could, both of us felt that we could comfortably go back to it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is kind of picturing yourself, and I got this from a book somewhere, I can't remember exactly which one. Basically, you think about, you know, a year ago where you are in your career with your business, how much has changed? You know, a few people have had a promotion, but, you know, all the stuff that led up to that promotion or any of the stuff, you don't really have big changes within 6 months to a year. So if you were to remove that from your career path, that's all you're missing out on. And when you reflect on that and you realize, you know what, not a lot has changed. And if I wanted to catch up or prove myself to my superiors, I could do that pretty quickly.
And I think we're both,
that's huge.
I mean, I think we're both educated, smart people who had really good work experience, past work experience. And we thought, well, the worst case scenario is that we take a lesser paying job and we'll work our way up again. But taking 7 months out of the rat race really isn't going to put us that far behind. And when you say you were traveling the world for those 7 months and gathering, you know, human experience from around the world, I think that only adds to what you can bring to the table.
Man, I'm pumped just listening to you guys say that. Like, when you frame it like that and you break it down, it's so true. I think if we miss 1 minute, that we're going to be put so far behind, but you're spitting such truth there. Like, that's a great, great way to frame it. So what happened during those 7 months?
Wow. I mean, well, it started,
what didn't happen?
It started with planning out our locations. So I made a list and Colette made a list, and we kind of compared the two of all the destinations that we wanted to see. And then we just kind of, you know, started looking at geographically how it makes sense to book flights. And I don't know if you want to add on.
I mean, the funny thing is we thought, okay, we have 7 months, and usually, you know, we only had the 2 week vacation, but now we have 7 months. Let's see it all. So when we first started planning it, we were moving almost, you know, every 3 to 4 days. And after months, we thought, this is not sustainable. We need to slow down.
Yeah.
So we decided to park for a little bit, and we moved to Bali for 6 weeks. And that's really when we had the idea to turn this into a business. I had a job opportunity back in Los Angeles as a director of marketing for a fitness company. And I thought, you know what? This is a dream job, or it used to be. But I'm loving what we're doing now with Romaru, and I think we're onto something. And we're already living as cheaply as possible. Other people are making a living doing this. We're smart people. Let's try. What's the worst thing that can happen? We always can go back to LA, and we probably will at some point, as we did. But let's just take this risk. Why not?
Wow. So this was about 3.5 years ago. Were other people doing this, or, you know, were you kind of like, yeah, there's a few people doing it? What did the marketplace look like at that point?
There were a handful of people, and we thought there were quite a few at the time. And then now, how many people have done it or are trying to do it? It's just grown exponentially.
Yeah, you were really at the tip of the spear with that. Like, it's incredible. You were kind of started talking about it, alluding to it, Colette. How did you guys make money, or did you just save money while you were doing the traveling, or logistically, what did that look like?
So initially, we had been saving for a second home prior to leaving for our around the world trip. Mm-hmm. So we had a lump sum of savings that we thought, let's use this and travel. We also had a lot of points and miles that we utilized mm-hmm. during our travels. And then we started supplementing by basically bartering with hotels and tour groups and things like that, because I thought, well, I know how to make a TV commercial. I know how to make, you know, write an article about something. What if we started doing this for hotels and either they would comp us or give us a media rate and it would pad our budget so we could continue to travel? And then we started making a name for ourselves that way. I thought, well, let me work for free, kind of like an internship, get people on our resume. And once our first big person that we worked with was the W Hotel in Bogota. And I thought, well, if I have a W Hotel on my resume, then I can go to another hotel and say, hey, we've worked with them. Look what we did with the W. This is what we can do for you. Yeah. And so we kind of just started doing that, and we didn't know what we were doing.
It was so bad.
Like, when we look back at those initial videos, we cringe. But, you know, you have to put yourself out there and you have to try.
It was so awkward. We look back at some of them. A lot of them we've taken down or deleted. But it was, you have to get on the stage to learn what you can and can't do. And so it was a great learning process, and it took time. And, you know, if we never did it and never took the risk, we would never be to the spot that we are now.
Yes, this is everyone's story that starts out doing something. You know, you learn as you go. If you wait until everything's perfect, you waited too long and the opportunity is now behind you. Colette, you said something in there. You said work for free. You worked for free. What does that mean, that you worked for free? Like, you just promoted them in return with nothing in return? Or what does that mean?
Right. So basically, for example, a hotel would put us up and we would create photos for their marketing or advertising purposes. We might create a video for them to use on their website or to post on our social media. So we were proving the creative aspect of what we could do, but providing them with assets that they could utilize for marketing, advertising, and social media.
Got it. And how in the hell do you pitch something like this? Like, you just have the balls to be able to be like, hey guys, I got an idea. Or like, what does it even look like?
Yeah, you definitely do have the cojones to do that. So basically, wow. I mean, we just put ourselves out there. We figured the worst case scenario is someone says no. Actually, that's a no is a really good thing. Because it gives you, you know, that you reached the right person. The silence is probably the worst thing you could do.
I didn't even thought about that.
There was an interesting no that we just received that has been the funniest one yet, which was just a page of laughing.
What? I'm sorry, what?
You can. It was just, I mean, usually people say no, I'm not interested, or it's silence, but someone took the time to
do that.
A page of ha ha ha. For the entire email, and that was it.
I was like,
what?
Well, that.
All right. So, all right. We definitely don't want to work with them.
We just put ourselves out there. I try to find the media contact for brands, hotels that I think are synergistic with our mission, and reach out to them directly and say, hey, this is what we do, and this is what we'd like to do for you. Is there any way that we can partner together and create content? So there was a lot of, in the beginning, it was a lot of us putting ourselves out there, getting our name out there. We got some really great press along the way, which I think really helped our mission, just because it was, you know, 3.5 years ago, it was kind of unheard of for people to quit their jobs and travel around the world. Now, articles, you kind of find those a little more often now. But we got some really good press locally and internationally. And I think that helped launch our brand even more. And then eventually people started coming to us. And I remember the first time someone said, hey, we want to pay you X amount and we want to fly you down to Jamaica and you'll promote this hotel and you'll take, you know, 10 photos and a video and XYZ. And we thought, oh my gosh, someone wants to pay us to do love? This is amazing.
Oh my God. So I'm going to ask you another question, tease that out, because you said if it supports our mission, what's your mission?
That's a good question. So we have been trying to define that over the past, well, I mean, really over the past few years, but specifically we've been focusing the past few months on identifying our mission and our cause that's going to be kind of like the 5-year, 10-year guiding principle. You know, I know we've had a moral compass that has helped make these decisions. You know, before we even started this, I'd kind of written down some things that I wanted my career to look like, but I didn't know what the job was. And some of those things were constantly learning, interacting with interesting people, being able to work remotely. And so when we decided to pursue this, I knew that that kind of checked a lot of the boxes that I was going after, but I also didn't know what it was going to look like. Now, what's our mission? I mean, it's to inspire others to achieve their goals and to take risks. And we're not necessarily talking about people quitting their jobs and traveling the world.
Yeah.
But maybe it's that person who's always wanted to travel to Mexico City and they've just been afraid to book the ticket, or they're afraid to tell that person that they love them. And so it's really just getting people to take risks and live, you know, somewhat dangerously, not necessarily financially or health risks, but dangerously to their emotions or their own concerns to live a happier and better life.
And that right there is why I brought them on this show. That is it. 100%. That's my goal. You know, it manifests in so many different ways. And for you guys, you know, it's through Romaru. But that's what we was at the end of the day. It's all we want. Inspire others and you know, inspire them to take risks and create their happiness. And you guys are 100% living proof. So what does, actually, before I ask that, why Romaru? Why that name? Yeah.
So when we were about to leave for our Around the World trip, we started thinking, all right, let's start a blog and some social media to support what we'll be doing and keep our friends and family updated on the road. So we thought of all of these basically synonyms for travel: and roam, explore, discover, all of these things. And then we tried to make up a new word with it. And of course, we basically fell in love with so many names, but either someone was squatting on the website or the Instagram, and we had to find out and discover and create a new name that no one else had taken. So two kangaroos roaming around the world is kind of how Romaru came about.
I love it. That's so good. How frustrating is it though, when you're trying to come up with a name and then someone like, you go on Instagram to look for it and there's no followers. They're not following anyone. There's no picture, but they have the handle. And you're like, why are you doing this?
I've tried to contact people just for my last name. Someone has Stoller and I want that for Instagram and they're not doing anything with it.
It drives me crazy. You're doing nothing with this. Nothing. So is, I guess actually two platforms are your big platforms. You're big with YouTube and Instagram. You guys use anything else?
YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The, you know, the bigger followings are on Facebook and Instagram. And then, you know, we've been for the past year or so been focusing on video content within YouTube.
Got it. And you just, is kind of repurposing content like you focus on for YouTube and then just steal some bits for the shorter platforms?
It's a combination of that. I mean, the content strategy is difficult, you know, as of now, two of us doing that. So to get the right content purpose for every, you know, repurpose for everything, it kind of has been that strategy at this point where it's, you know, we have the photo assets, which are focused for Instagram, but then we also have the video assets of telling a story for our YouTube. And then we'll kind of repost it on Facebook and we'll take some cutdowns and put those on Instagram stories as well.
Yeah, because every platform is a little bit different in terms of how people consume that content. So Facebook doesn't really, well, it's starting to lend itself to longer form video because they want to take over YouTube. But unfortunately, YouTube's still paying on longer form content. So we play around with it. We usually do put our YouTube videos on Facebook and sometimes they do play well, but really the sweet spot for Facebook is going to be, you know, a 30-second to 1-minute video that makes someone stop scrolling through their feed. Whereas YouTube, someone's really consuming 10-plus minutes of content at a time.
Yes, you guys are speaking my language. That's why I kind of wanted to tease that out a little bit. I love content creation and, you know, playing around with different variables with that. And for you guys listening, anyone that's thinking about doing things like this or is doing things like this, that concept of repurposing content and kind of tweaking it for this platform or for that platform, which is so, in my opinion, so much fun. How are you guys managing this with two people? Like, you guys are doing a ton.
It is. It's fun, but it's also been a learning experience. I mean, the two of us trying to learn how to work together while living together and travel together. You know, we were married for over 5 years, coming on our 6-year anniversary.
Congrats, man. Oh, thank Congrats. You so much.
Wow, 6 years this summer.
I mean, the actual ways of working, you know, one tool we just added that I really like that it's not, I mean, it's pretty common to most people, is we just added Slack because we were, you know, communicating back and forth to emails and it just, you know, congests everything. And so it's an easier way for us to communicate and ask for certain things. I think it's also the two of us aren't always aligned when it comes to what priorities we have for each day, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But we just kind of have to, you know, we have meetings. And one of the things we like to do on a quarterly basis is we have what we call our, quote, quarterly business review. And the first time this happened was kind of by accident, but we've made it a tradition. And it's where the two of us will go out and, you know, have a nice cocktail, a nice bar, or get a martini or a glass of wine, and just talk about all the great things that have happened over the past 3 months. And so what this allows us to do is to not get burnt out and also celebrate, you know, some of the wins that we've done. And the two of us, really, it's mainly, you know, me talking about the great things that Colette has done and then vice versa, because it's easy as you go along that you don't have a boss who's telling you good job. You don't have someone giving you a review, and, you know, to get caught up in this, this growth or feedback loop that social media has, that's not always rewarding, because sometimes you forget that, you know, maybe what your growth was, you know, 6 months ago, now it could be double that, but you're just in the weeds so much, you forget that you have made such a big difference in your business and in your brand.
That's great. And that's like, yes, I'm sitting here taking notes and I'm like, I need to have a meeting with myself to do this.
It's hard as an entrepreneur because no one is saying, great job, you did amazing on that, here's a raise or anything like that.
You're just like, okay, next thing.
You're more likely to have someone who's just going to be a troll or a hater dropping comments on some of your content.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you focus on that and you're like, I guess I got to keep working harder. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So talking about kind of the business side, if you will, Colette, what do trips look like now? Is it all work? Is there any play? Is it as glamorous as it looks on my end when I'm looking at social media?
So last year in 2018, we said yes to everything. Every single opportunity. And so we traveled about 90% of the year. So it was a lot of business travel. I mean, out of all of that, I'd say, I think we had 1 week of vacation, but we still created content because we loved doing it. And it was such a beautiful destination
for sure
that we were vacationing in. So in 2019, we decided to slow down, practice the art of no, and really try to think about what are our next steps? How can we continue to adapt and grow? Because yes, we can make money telling stories as we always have, but if we want to grow as individuals and as a brand, what can those next steps be? So we're in the process of creating a few different YouTube series, and we're going to be, when we're in the Philippines and Korea coming up, it's going to be a mix of work and pleasure. But we've decided that it is really important to kind of renew that initial love for travel, what really sparked us in the beginning, and not get bogged down just by, you know, going somewhere because it's a job. We want to go because we love to do that. So that's really on the next, I mean, that's next month for us, and we're really looking forward to it.
Do you guys revisit places?
All the time. Honestly, revisiting places is one of our favorite things to do. It's hard because you always want to explore a new country. But then if you fall in love with a place like Italy or Indonesia or Mexico, I mean, we've been to those countries over and over again just because they're so amazing. And there's a sense of comfort in them, but you also get to explore it on a deeper level and mix with the locals a little bit more and kind of find the hidden gems that you didn't know about prior to your first visit.
What's been your favorite place?
The trip that she just talked about that we took last summer, we sailed around the Aeolian Islands of Italy for a week. We chartered a boat with some of our friends, and the Aeolian Islands are right off of Sicily, which is basically the tip of the boot of Italy, and sailed around there's 7 or 8 islands, and we ended up seeing 5 of them and just had an absolute blast just exploring. I mean, it really was exploring for all of us because no one had been there before. It's not a location that many people know about, but it is just, you know, raw, rustic beauty. And then it culminated with us climbing an active volcano, which is Stromboli, and seeing it erupt at night. The lava was shooting like several hundred meters up. And we've created a whole video about it. And it was just one of the most magical places that we've been. And then on the way out, basically, we saw and met Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oof, just another weekend? That's what my weekends look like.
I mean, it was such a magnificent place because I think everyone's dreaming of La Dolce Vita when they go to Italy, and they think it's going to be all of this, you know, rustic open spaces, and it ends up being really crowded because it is a really popular tourist destination. But it felt like we were discovering these islands for the first time. Like no one had ever been there before. And I think as a traveler, there was something so refreshing and renewing about that. I would highly recommend the Aeolian Islands to anyone that wants something a little bit different, especially if you're a sailor.
This is unreal. You guys listening, I will link that episode that they did of that amazing trip in volcanoes and the unreal life. If you guys had to recommend a starting trip, right? Someone's thinking about like, hey, I think I kind of want to travel. You and I know you guys have been everywhere, so I'm sure there's like a lot of caveats, but if you're like, here's a simple thing, like just try this, see if you like it. You have a place you'd recommend?
We always recommend road trips. You know, depending where you live, it's so often you get you're fascinated by, you know, beautiful pictures of Thailand or Bali, but we tend to forget, you know, some of the natural beauty that is here. You know, I'm not sure where your listeners are from, but if they're from the States, you know, we're in LA and there's within 2 to 3 hours, there's so many great road trips that you can do and all across the States, that and national parks. But I think if you're going to jump on a plane and not go too far, I think that Mexico is the Italy of North America. I think there's beauty and history that is undervalued. And part of it is because risk of security in certain locations. But, you know, Mexico does have a lot of great locations to offer outside of, you know, the generic Cancun all-inclusive resorts.
And I think we kind of touched on a really important subject when it comes to safety. Yeah. I mean, what we see in the news is just a sliver of what's going on. And they're trying to focus on the negatives because that's the news. But we really have to look past that. And I mean, we've been to Mexico 3 times this year already. And everyone says, aren't you worried? Isn't it dangerous? And honestly, now, you know, there's risk everywhere, but there's risk in Los Angeles. There's risk in the city. So understand statistics and be safe about things. But don't miss out on an opportunity because you saw something on the news. There's so much more than what meets, you know, CNN and BBC and Fox.
I mean, I just started kind of, you know, dipping my toe into this whole international travel thing, and I couldn't agree more. Like, I love both those pieces of advice. Is one, to look in the States. Like, I think I've been to almost every state, not Alaska, it's too cold, but pretty much everywhere else. And it's been, there's stuff that we have here is amazing. So definitely, you guys listening, go on a little road trip, like, as a start. And then definitely, you guys are saying with safety, like, I mean, I got mugged when I was in New York City, so I'm not at all like, oh, you should go to other places. There's no risk. I'm like, you know, like, things can happen. Just be smart, be safe. I love that. Do you guys speak other languages? How do you get by when you're like abroad?
We learn how to say please, thank you, and hello, and cheers, of course, in almost every language. But I mean, Scott took German in high school, and I took French, but I wouldn't say that we speak them by any means. So not really, honestly.
I mean, there are tools like Google Translate that you can use if you're in a location that really doesn't speak English. But often, most countries speak English in all the tourist destinations. There've only been a few times when that we really wish we spoke the local language. One was like Argentina, and then Japan. Mm-hmm. In certain locations of Japan, they, you know, there's very few little. There are very few people who spoke English.
Wow. How would you say, just because I was looking through your Instagram and just looking at growth and such, and how would you guys say things have changed? I know it's a really big question, but, you know, one of the things that you wrote in the caption when you did a picture of your, it was like a throwback, you know, of your around the world trip, you were like, look at these bags. Like, how have things changed from then to now?
Oh, wow. I mean, one is, you know, when we did the around the world trip, you know, that was for us. That was 100%. We wanted to go travel the world. We had a different mindset. And like the thought of traveling for 7 months right now just makes me cringe. Mm-hmm. There's, There's, I mean, I love to travel, and we're going to do a, you know, almost a 2-week trip through the Philippines and Korea, and I'm so excited for it. But to extend things beyond that, after a while, it's just, we want to be home, you know? So yeah. we took the leap and we stretched our comfort zone, but our comfort zone has come back to just being home with each other and with friends.
South Bay. Doesn't get any better than here.
Yeah,
wow. How do you guys stay healthy? And not just exercise wise, because I know, like, you know, get on the road, you can exercise, but like, do you guys just food and like you're in on these airplanes all the time? Do you have a problem with staying healthy?
I would say that we try to make the smartest and healthiest decisions possible for the situation that we're in, knowing that we can't control anything or basically when you're in the air. But for example, if we're leaving from LAX, we'll pack a lunch. Or we'll pick up something healthy here since there's an abundance of healthy food. Sometimes we'll fast on travel days, more for the health benefits rather than just an aesthetic benefit.
Yeah.
And then when we're in our destinations, we try to control our breakfast. So we'll make either bulletproof coffee if we have access to it, or we'll make a healthy breakfast like eggs. But if you're in a destination like Italy or Mexico where you want to indulge in the tacos or the pasta, we need to indulge in those too because food is part of a destination. I mean, you need to taste the destination itself. So we definitely don't limit ourselves when it comes to indulging at certain destinations. But when we're home, we really eat super healthy. I mean, Scott's drinking a green smoothie right now. We drink bulletproof coffee in the morning and we make a healthy dinner at night. We tend to eat fairly paleo when we're home, but you know, when we're on the road, we enjoy ourselves.
Balance, kids. So before I let you guys go, I just have a few more kind of nerdy questions too. Scott, I got my tripod on your recommendation. In general, what are like a few of your favorite pieces of gear?
Oh, good question. I would say, I mean, I love the DJI Mavic drone. It's just, that is a marvel of engineering. And drones in general are. I mean, my camera, we have our Sony a7 III, which we use for a lot of our photo photography. But then I also love we have a little Canon EOS M6 with a wide angle lens. And it's great and really inconspicuous for shooting the two of us. We actually just did a short little video about the best ramen in LA. And it, you know, I have a little contraption where I basically connected an external mic to it. So I think those are, you know, I love the camera gears. And then the last thing would be a thing called a Loom Cube. And it's a little portable light that is really just a 1-inch cube that allows us to light up things, you know, in spots where we need it. And then I think that I'll do one more that has to do with lighting is there's an app called, I think it's called Light App. And all it does is it turns your phone into 100% bright screen light. And we use that to light up for photos or light up the food when we're in dark environments, and it's much better than the actual flashlight that's on your phone itself.
So good. I love the kind of nuances of this. I'm actually looking at some more, and I think I'd hit you up before, looking at some more just lighting options, because we know that, like, yeah, natural light's the best, but it's not daylight all the time. And so you're like, oh, I can't just shoot at that time. So
Amazon has a lot of good options for just cheap softbox lights. And we use those all the time. It's amazing. I mean, we've had video conferences with people, and we'll just turn that on for us just to look better on the video conference.
Yeah.
All on our videos. And they're maybe like $60.
It's such a good investment.
Yes. Definitely worth it if we're going to do any video content.
How are you in terms of traveling with all of your gear? How do you do this?
Well, I actually have a gear bag review that has everything, but I have to limit
it.
I don't travel with the soft boxes. You know, when we are out shooting our vlogs and video content, it's all the stuff that is out and about is all natural lighting. And besides, maybe I'll use the Loom Cube on the vlog camera.
Yeah.
So it's very simple. I've got the two cameras, the drone, GoPro, very minimal stuff that we're running and gunning with.
It all fits into a carry-on bag. He's a total pro.
And your clothes?
Clothes are on a carry-on. Yes, and my camera bag is a carry-on backpack.
Got it. So you got the two bags and you're set to go.
Set to go.
So good. Yeah, I had a question. I was going to say, that was another thing. I'm like, do you guys check bags? That's like very amateur. Check no bags and then you lose them.
We do sometimes. Depends if it's a cold weather climate.
Yes.
Or if we're doing multiple climates. What?
Scott has the biggest jacket I've ever seen in my whole life. The hood on that thing.
That thing is great.
That was amazing. You're going to New York City and it was like the most massive hood. I was like, this guy is prepared. I love it. Colette, you do any of the fun stuff with the gears and the editing, or you're more of the creative?
No, I am definitely creative and art directing. But Scott calls me the Duchess of Deals. So
I love it.
I mean, I have an understanding of the vision for mm-hmm. a project and the direction we want to take it in. But in terms of the actual execution and the gear, that is all Scott.
I love it. It's a teamwork. Is it hard to keep coming up with content?
Somewhat. I mean, I actually have a list of list of ideas that we want to help create. And then also we mentioned we don't want to really give it all out because we have to create it, but we have some serious ideas that we're working on as well.
I think
it's not necessarily hard keep coming up with content ideas. The hard part is getting it out, getting it edited properly.
Especially when we're traveling. And if we have, you know, a heavy travel schedule and we're shooting and then we just don't have the time to edit. So, I mean, eventually the dream is that we'll be able to hire someone to help
us. Yeah. So I was like, are you guys going to hire someone soon? Or not that I'm looking to do that, but
for certain projects.
Got it.
You know, it'd be great to have someone full-time who we're interfacing with and able, you know, someone who's not remote, because it's difficult to talk to an editor remotely. We've done that in the past and we've had some success, but it's not what we really want.
It's not as nice now for sure. You guys have any issues with drones in and like legally in other countries or even here?
Yes. I mean, that's a point of frustration with me, all the regulations on drones. And there's certain areas where you just can't fly it and we follow the rules. And then there's, you know, sometimes people, we try to be as unobtrusive as possible. A lot of times we're working with hotels or tourism boards, we have special permission. Mm-hmm. Because we have representatives from those locations to help us out. Sometimes when we're on our own, you know, if we'll just try to do it in a spot where no one is, because we really don't want to, you know, be on a beach when someone's enjoying their vacation, have a drone buzzing them and annoying them. So we kind of do it on special times and in special locations.
Wow. I love all the back end stuff out of this. I don't know if the listeners may be like, why are you asking these questions? Because I like learning this stuff. It's pretty cool. Like content creation and you're getting to, you know, you get a glimpse inside of someone's head and inside of their passion. Like you guys listening, you hear them talking and they both have their own passion for this end of things or this end of things. And that's what I love hearing. It's like, what makes you tick? Why do you like this stuff? Like, this is great. So we're hitting that time. I'm going to let you guys go. But before I let you go, you guys have any last words you want to share with the listeners?
There was something I wanted to go back to earlier, which was talking about when we hear no. And I don't think we emphasized it enough that, so I think Colette is like a pack of wolves pursuing prey when it comes to getting deals. She is tenacious and she will take no for an answer because then she'll continue to follow up until she gets a yes.
Yeah, I think a no is honestly just one step closer to a yes. And most sales aren't made until the 12th point of contact. So you have to remember that. It takes perseverance and grit. And if you believe in your mission and what you have to say or your story that you want to tell, don't give up just because someone says no. People are going to say no. That happens all the time. But you just have to keep pursuing and stay true to yourself. And yeah, I mean, I love the art of the deal and I love going after this. I mean, there's a certain rush that comes from that. But yeah, I don't take no for an answer. No way.
12 points of contact.
Yeah.
Bless you.
I read that and I thought, okay, well, this is fine. I mean, it's usually less than that, but I'm totally willing to do 12 or more. And set reminders for yourself, follow up. I mean, I think the biggest thing in sales and entrepreneurship is follow up, which seems like such a simple concept, But so many people let that go. So I think that's really, really important. If you're trying to get something out there, follow up with it, because people are busy. They have busy lives and you're not their first thing on their mind. So, but you can be the first thing on their mind if you keep following up with them.
I love it. And you're doing this phone calls and email and just any kind of way you can contact people.
Yes, mostly email, some phone calls, and it's also developing relationships, genuine relationships with people, which is such a beautiful part of travel, is that we get to travel the world and meet people from all around the world. And I think relationships make the world go round. I mean, that's why we wanted to travel in the first place.
Oh, man, this is so good. All the things.
I think there's one other thing that, you know, people who are doing this and trying to make a living being content creators is don't undervalue yourself. You know, if you're an artist or a content creator or in business or sales or what have you, people undervalue themselves too quickly and too easily. You know, when Colette and I first started and we were getting, you know, paid for projects, I told her, I said, I want to be priced out of a few projects so I know the value of the market. I said, I want to lose some jobs so that I know what our value truly is and what people are willing to pay. Because if we land every single job that people pitch to us, and that means we're not trying hard enough.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's a big thing, especially, you know, I definitely have primarily a healthcare audience. And that is a huge thing where people just, they have a really tough time asking for what they're worth. I think they can value themselves. But then they're like, but maybe they don't want to pay. And then they don't ask for it and they don't get it. And then it's like, oh, well, you still have bills to pay. So I hope that handshake and high five is what's paying your bills. Like, oh, that is so, so good. If folks want to find you on the interwebs of any sort, where can they do that?
So people can find us on romaroo.com, spelled R-O-A-M-A-R-O-O. And we also have all of our social media platforms, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and that's all under Romaroo.
Amazing continuity of branding. I will link that for you guys in the show notes like I do all the time. Keep it easy for you, along with some of those other stuff that they were talking about, the reviews, the videos, and everything, because this has been, this is my kind of episode. I'm like, oh, I've got the travel, we got the gadgets, we got taking leaps, like, yes. What are things looking like moving forward, guys?
Well, it's two trips and creating some content based on those two trips as well. You know, exploring the Philippines is going to be fantastic. Exploring Korea is just going to be, we're going to be inundated with restaurants and noise and lights and neon, but I think it's all going to be great. And then it's also just continuing to refine our mission and vision and telling a story that people can truly relate with.
And I think with the series, it's also creating something that has a little more continuity that people can tune in, whether it's going to be, you know, every week or every 2 weeks, where it's going to be a similar subject line, but a different location. So something that is similar to what a TV series would be on, you know, Netflix or your traditional cable, but we're going to put it on our YouTube. So I think we're going to have a few different shows coming out in the next few months. So definitely check back on our YouTube and stay tuned.
I love it. Have you guys dabbled in, I'm guessing that internet connection would kind of make the difference with that, but things like Twitch and live streaming, is that at all interesting to you?
We have not. I mean, we know of it, but really haven't thought anything about it.
18 million things to juggle. Just wondering, seeing what the young kids are doing these days.
Oh, no, we're out of that loop, I think.
No, it's like so much stuff. And I was like, oh, another platform?
I think you have to, we talked about all different platforms and repurposing content, but you also have to focus your priorities and realize what works for you best.
Yes, for sure. In terms of, I acted like I was going to wrap the episode up, but now I have all these questions. In terms of keeping connected with your audience, how do you do that? Is it just mostly through commenting back to their comments, or do you guys you're still doing like newsletters, blogs? How are you guys keeping in touch?
Comments. I think the direct contact is the best way to do it.
Yes.
You know, comments on the videos, comments on Instagram, on the actual photos, or through DMs and requests. That's the best way to, you know, keep the relationship, and we'll continue to do that as we have the bandwidth to do it.
I love it. I think there's so much value in that. And I get asked that question a lot, like, how do I create a brand or, you know, grow a following? And Colette said it before, it's all about connection and, you know, creating these relationships. And it's so valuable to just write back to someone or just, you know, respond to their comment. It doesn't take you that long. I guess if you have a lot of them, it'll take a little longer, but especially if you're just starting, it doesn't take that long to comment back to someone, and they're that much more likely than to engage again and down the road because they realize that you're a human, not just a picture on their phone.
So exactly. I mean, I think social media is interactive and ultimately it's a community. So you have to foster a community because you're building your tribe. And how do you do that is you interact with them on a daily basis. And yes, it does take time, but that's just part of it. And it's kind of amazing when you think about it, that these people are taking the time to write into you and say something. That means that they're taking time out of their day. And this time is precious. So I think we need to respect that and write back to it. And honestly, like when people comment or send us a DM or a fan email or whatever it is, we are so grateful for it. And we always take the time because we know it is important.
It is amazing when you get people reaching out. And then it's, you know, what a time to be alive, because people are reaching out from around the world, like, you know, at any moment. And you're like, wow, you took the time out of your day to say something. So I love it. You guys are so grounded. I think that I got my question. Actually, last question. What was it about that podcast? And I love that you brought in Tim Ferriss. That's what made me quit my job. It wasn't the podcast. It was the book, 4-Hour Work Week. I read it and like quit my job like 2 weeks later. What was it about that podcast that really made you be like, huh, there's another way we should be doing something else?
It was two things. It was the first analogy or quote, which is the stoplights in life are never all green. And then it's also the idea of when you look back on your life and you're 70 years old, are you going to be proud of the story you wrote and told, or are you going to regret decisions that you made? And so once we kind of visualize ourselves as either being the couple that almost traveled around the world or being the couple that did, that was the thing that solidified us.
I think also to piggyback on that, there were a lot of personal stories that were involved in this podcast. And as two type A, you know, grinding personalities, they talked about how you could take 2 weeks, 2 months, or even 2 years off and out of the, you know, quote unquote rat race. And they didn't miss out. Instead, they actually fostered new experiences. And sometimes it changed their careers, but ultimately it changed their lives in some way. And I always thought, well, I can't take time off. I need to keep excelling. I need to keep growing. And so knowing that these quote unquote successful people were able to take the time to dedicate to themselves, I think that was a huge turning point for me in the way that I saw long-term travel or a sabbatical.
So good. You guys, so good. Bringing it all full circle. We call that closing the loop of learning in my world. That was...
Oh, I like that. Right? You had asked a question before about how we met. I don't know if that matters. But
how did you meet? You said on vacation.
We did meet on vacation. We met in Las Vegas.
Get out of here.
I swear. So you can imagine all of the jokes that happened at our wedding. What happens in Vegas? But yeah, Scott was living in Chicago and I was living in Los Angeles. And we met and we clicked and we started a long distance relationship for a year and a half after that. So travel was a part of our relationship
from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you ended up living together where? Because you were in two different places. So what happened next?
I got a job out here in LA and we moved. We were living in Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach area.
And now you're still here. Well, you guys are up in El Segundo, right? Something like that.
We were in Hermosa Beach.
Oh, you guys live in Hermosa?
Yeah.
How did I think that you were? What is wrong
with me? We own a house in El Segundo.
Oh, okay. That's what I was like.
We rent it out.
What in the world? And this is the best place ever, man. You guys have traveled the world and yet you still come back to here.
Yeah, we always will. We've traveled the world, but Hermosa Beach is the best place on earth.
I sit and I tell people and I'm like filming my little videos in my Jeep and I'm like, I have found the best place on earth. And now you guys hear it from world travelers. This is the best place on earth. It's true. It really is. But no one else move here. I don't need to be too crowded, right?
Someone had to say it.
Right? Just come and visit and then that's fine.
And then leave. No.
All right, guys, this was amazing. I brought you guys on for what we said earlier, that Roger Bannister effect. You guys listening, I use that analogy all the time, right? When you see someone do something, suddenly that thing becomes that much more achievable, that much more attainable. And you got two folks right here that have created a lifestyle that maybe you don't want, but I hope that this episode kind of inspires you to say, what is it that I want? And you know what? I could probably take some time out from what I'm doing right now and go and have this experience and see where it takes me. So Scott and Colette, thank you for sharing your inspiration. Thank you for sharing your life with us. This is, like I said, you guys are only home for like 5 seconds and you took time out. So truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll see you at the box, I'm sure. When are you guys leaving next week?
We leave Saturday, just a few days.
Oh my God. Oh God. So maybe I'll see you, maybe I won't. When you get back, right? Oh well, I went to this morning, so I won't be there. But I'll catch you when you guys are back. But for real, thank you for taking the time to do this. You guys listening? Yeah, my pleasure. Absolutely, my pleasure. You guys listening? Thank you. I know you could have been doing anything, but you chose to listen to us, and for that, I am endlessly, endlessly appreciative. I'm going to drop all of those links and such in the show notes. If you want to follow them, you want to find out some more about them, Romaru on all the platforms. But like I said, it will be in the show notes. Not going to ask you guys for a follow or a subscription or stars or anything tonight. What I'd love for you to do, if you like this episode, go to social media, whatever platform you like, and respond to some comments. Form some relationships. Life is all about connection. Until next time, friends, Scott, Colette, and Maestro,